Okay, welcome back.
Hi, and...
it's Brian and me and Brian, for whichever podcast you're listening to this on. So, today we're switching it up. I know I said I was going to do an episode about something else. With my new season. But we had an upcoming assignment, so we decided... let's just do it as a podcast. And obviously our teacher said yes. So let's get started on the battles of 7 days. Brian, you want to elaborate some?
Okay. So.
Do you want me to start? I want to start.
Then you go and start.
Okay. So for our major events, the first major event that happened during
What's the battles of 7 days though? Like, is it a...
Civil War. Civil War. This has a lot to do with the Civil War. It is a battle within the Civil War, and there's a lot of battles.
It's
actually seven
battles that took the periods over 7 days.
Yeah, it's 7 days, seven battles type thing, and kind of the major events are kind of all the battles and what happened during them. So let's start off with the first major event or first battle on June 25th, 1862. The 7 days battle are begun. Six major engagements spanning over 7 days and pitting forces of General McClellan against forces of General Robert E. Lee. It marks a Confederate victory, though losses are heavy for both sides. The battles take place around the Confederate capital of Richmond, Virginia, near Oak Grove. And then I'm going to go on to the next one, and Brian will do the next few. So the next one is the next battle, which occurred on June 26, 1862. The Battle of Beaver Dam Creek. Also Battle of Mechansville. I'm not sure how to say that, but it's okay. Is a fought between General McClellan and General Robert E. Lee. Losses total... oh my goodness, this one has a lot of losses, like, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, do you want me to do some elaboration on this?
You will here in a minute, but I want to finish this. So, the losses, there's a total of 361 for the Union and 1,484 for the Confederates. And for that time, that is a lot of people. A lot of soldiers have just died in this battle.
Mm-hmm.
So, moving on. The Union can only claim a tactical victory. This is the second battle of the 7 days battles, obviously. Okay, Brian, you want to elaborate a little bit on that?
The American Civil War marked many firsts in warfare, and it was the first to feature ironclad versus ironclad duels, marking the end of the age of wooden warship. And ironclads are the beginning of metal warships, or metal ships. The first to provide military intelligence through the use of observation balloons. The first to feature viable submarine and torpedo designs, etc. This made for an utterly bloody conflict that would span years and pit together brother first against brother, as the northern states battled the southern Confederacy. The Confederacy failed to net support from Britain and France, but managed to align themselves with several Indian tribes and in their territories to help strengthen the ranks. Similar guns and cannons were used on both sides, and the Union blockade of southern ports served well in applying a stranglehold to shipping and reinforcing supply lines. Railways proved critical on land and manufacturing. Manufacturing supported the war effort as much as manpower did. In the end, the South would capitulate under the might of the Union military, as resources and manpower simply proved too hard to come by in the limited South. The war did much to advance land-based and sea-based warfare in the decades to come. Now to move on to the third one.
Oh yes, this is a great, never mind. I am not allowed to say that.
Choose your words carefully.
Yeah, I shouldn't say that because it's not great. People died. But, you know, it's okay. Because it's part of history. Let's just not let history repeat itself, please.
Again.
Brian, go on. Just read the bullets, please. Thank you.
On June 27th, 1862, the third contest of the Seven Days' Battles is fought during the Battle of Gainesville. It is a Confederate victory by Robert E. Lee over McClellan. That's not literally the same thing.
Just do the bullets.
I did.
Not anymore. Just do the thingy.
Okay. On June 27th, 1862, the fourth installment of the Seven Days Battles is fought during the Battle of Garrett's and Golding's Farm. It results as inconclusive and neither side fail to make headway. Losses are minimal by the war standard. 189 Union elements to the Confederates, 438.
Okay, moving on. Are we moving on?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So let's move on to 5, 6, and 7. I'll let Brian do 7 because that's just how it's going to work. So the fifth battle, which took place on June 27th, 1862, is the Battle of Savage's Station. The fifth of the 7 days battle is fought. It is another inconclusive engagement with the Union, suffering 1,038 casualties against the Confederates. 400 in what?
473.
But that makes no sense.
Inconclusive, but no one made more headway, which means that nobody pushed their line a little bit more.
Okay, anyway. Stayed level. Sumner led the Union forces against Magruder? Union forces withdraw. And then let's go on to the sixth battle, which occurred on
June 1862.
No, that is number 5. June 28th.
No, some of these... Excuse me.
Yeah, but why are all three of them
I'll be
the
right
same?
Back.
Okay, we got our information a little bit wrong. The date for the fifth battle was June 29th, 1862. The sixth battle occurred on June 30th, 1862. The Battle of White Oak Swamp. As part of the 7 days battle of fought and it marks another inconclusive victory. Union General Franklin Leeds against Stonewall Jackson loses minimal for both sides. So this one wasn't really as, I guess, important because nobody gained anything and
losses were minimal.
Yeah, and losses were minimal. Nobody lost, nobody gained. It's just a kind of win-win for both sides. Well, not really, but you know what I mean. Go ahead, go on to 7.
The 7th battle was on July 1st, 1862, given that these were all in the same year, so it was just on July 1st. The 7 days battles draw to a close. Casualties total 18,849 for the Union and as many as 20,100 for the Confederates. It's a Confederate victory nonetheless, as General McClellan's forces fail to make progress.
Ugh.
It makes the culmination of the Peninsular Campaign.
My brain hurts. This is sad. So, so sad. Okay, anyway, moving on.
Well, as a total, there was 38,939 losses.
Holy, my brain kind of hurts a little bit.
We just wrinkled your brain.
We're going to move on to the next section, and if Brian wants to start this one, we can. It's of the generals and leaders.
Okay.
And there was some more that I just learned about that are, like, put into the... We only listed the major ones, but the other ones are listed in the major events. Each battle has their own, like, little dude.
Has their own leader?
As their own... Not each battle, but, like, some of the battles have different leaders, and, but they're, like, we just put the major ones, okay? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, as you could guess from what we said before, the general for the Confederate side was Robert E. Lee. and for the Union, it was George B. McClellan. And I will go on to the number of casualties, if you would like me to.
Never mind.
So
No, I want to do casualties. Okay. Can I do casualties? Can
yes,
I do
you
dead
can
people?
Do the casualties.
Okay, yay. Okay, thank you. Anyway, let's go to casualties. All the battles, like throughout all the battles of the 7 days. Okay, casualties for the 7 days were enormous. Less losses exceeded 20,000.
Lee's losses.
Oh, Lee's. Anyway, Lee's losses exceeded 20,000 killed, wounded, and missing. While McClellan's surpassed 16,000, Gaines' Mill,
were combined losses.
That says where, Brian.
Where.
Were combined losses exceeded 15,000, marked the point of the greatest slaughter.
So I think that sentence was trying to say, where combined, the losses exceeded 15,000. So if you, where they were combined, it created that.
Oh! Sorry, blonde moment, again.
Even though you're a brunette, but I wish these guys could have seen your faces. And also, I am so sorry, Mr. Sarvey, for her. You haven't gotten to see her like
I'm sorry for the whole class. Anyway, onward.
I'm not too sorry.
I want to do the next part because I have it pulled up.
I don't. Because you don't give me that information.
The next thing was the importance of the battles of the 7 days. In which case, the importance of this was that the Union forces were trying to capture the Confederate capital of Richmond, Virginia. So they were just trying to capture the capital of the Confederate.
Yes.
Side.
Yeah.
So that they could gain control and be, you know, I win, ha 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 ha, you lost, boo hoo hoo.
Well, it's a, I am, because the main war was fought over not entirely slavery, that's what helped instigate the war.
Well, yeah.
But
it
was fought over the Union wanting to keep them all, to bring the others back.
It was mostly everybody just fighting about a bunch of different things. Like, everybody had different opinions. Like, oh, I'm gonna stab you because you have slaves. And then, I'm gonna stab you because...
I'll shoot you because I want us to be one entire country again.
I wanted a shake. Hi, Bubbles. You wanna say hi? Ruff, ruff. Say hi. Okay, bye. Okay, so we have a little bit more, so here we go. Guys, I just learned something because I was having another blonde moment. But, so I learned that the Union won and they got the capital of Richmond, Virginia, and I'm...
Yeah, otherwise there would be two countries where our country would be. Because otherwise the Confederates would have won and there'd be two countries. But now there's one, being the United States of America.
Okay, for a second, it's just going to be me, and I'm going to be going from an eyewitness account, and this is a quote that we have. The next one, Brian, I'm going to let Brian read, because it's, like, blood-curdling, like, it's, like, creepy.
It hurts
it's
your
like,
soul.
It's, like, bone-chilling. It's almost, like, it gives me goosebumps. It's, like, crazy. So, let's just go with this first quote from this eyewitness, and it says, I had a Sergeant Driscoll, a brave man, and one of the best shots in the brigade. When charging at Malvern Hill, a company was posted in a clump of trees, who kept up a fierce fire on us, and actually charged out on our advance. Their officer seemed to be a daring, reckless boy. And I said to Driscoll, if that officer is not taken down, many of us will fall before that clump. End quote. So, and this is Private Edwin Jemison, 2nd Louisiana
Regiment,
killed at the Battle
of Malvern Hill.
Sorry, I'm not good at pronunciation, so.
I can read out that second part of the quote now.
Okay. Oh my god, this next one, is that the one that you were talking about?
Yes, I'm gonna go from the...
Oh, this one gives me chills, like, in my body. Like, I'm gonna cry over it. Anyway, it's, like, creepy.
Leave that to me, said Driscoll. So he raised his rifle, and the moment the officer exposed himself again, bang, went Driscoll. And over went the officer, his company at once breaking away. As we passed the place, I said, Driscoll, see if that officer is dead. He was a brave fellow. I stood looking on. Driscoll turned him over on his back. He opened his eyes for a moment and faintly murmured, Father, and then closed them forever.
Can we talk about this for a minute, please, before we move on to the pictures? Can we please? Please.
I'll put a picture next to his quote of
talk about
him
this.
Himself.
So, this Edwin. Kid... Like, and this is a kid, obviously. It's like, maybe he's, like, 20-ish, in his early 20s.
Look at him.
Yeah, he's in his early 20s, or a teenager at the most, like, 16, 18. Because, you know, like, during the Civil War, it was young kids.
You had to
kids,
be 17,
or
you had to be 18 or older.
It was younger fellows, some older folk, and then obviously on one side slaves or black men, and then obviously like the women nurses. But let's talk about this for a minute, because let me elaborate a little bit. This kid, this is his father. He just died, isn't it? Because isn't that what it says?
It just said it's an officer, and I stood looking on. Driscoll turned him over onto his back. He opened his eyes for a moment and faintly murmured, Father, and then closed them forever.
So it was his father.
Driscoll was probably his father.
So Driscoll was his father, and he closed his eyes. Well, you know how, like, when people are dead and their eyes are open and they close them?
No, the guy was barely alive, and he says, Father, and then closes his eyes.
Oh, okay, so Driscoll says,
Driscoll,
Father.
No, Driscoll's not dead. The officer Driscoll killed is killed. He hasn't died quite yet. He's still barely alive. And okay. As Driscoll flips him over onto his back, his eyes are open. He says, Father, then closes them. And passes on.
Well, that sucks.
That's even more heartless than I am. I put hot pink bandages on the freaking helmet and casualties there are, Paige.
No, I
And
mean,
you're just like, oh, well, he's
no,
dead.
No, I said,
too bad.
No, well, a lot of people died. And I mean, it's just, and it happened. It's like, there's nothing we can do to change it. I mean, like...
Well, there are ways we can stop it from happening again.
Well, exactly.
But I'm not getting into
See,
that.
See, that is part of, like, one of my biggest arguments with people is let's not let history repeat itself. Because you have seen our history.
And
let's not go back to that.
And history repeats itself more often than you think.
Oh, it repeats itself way more often. Like, okay, let's talk about something simple that everyone gets. Fashion.
Oh, my
fashion from
God.
The 70s is coming back. Mm-mm.
The bell bottoms, the obscene colors.
In a different way, though. It's coming back in a different way. It's coming back in a more modern, more our style way, but it's still coming back. This is history repeating itself.
Victorian clothing's becoming a big thing, too.
Yep. Things.
Because people are starting to kind of get that resurgence into sewing and the creation of older, historically recreating. Those garments from back then, like how they would have done it. There's a great channel I watch that I sent to you, Bernadette Banner.
Okay, let's get back to this.
Yeah, let's get
back
to it.
So I'm going to explain the pictures for my class. Like, the rest of y'all are not going to get this.
You won't understand.
For the class, you'll get this because we will have the slideshow up for you to look at while we're speaking, obviously.
Hopefully.
Anyway... So, this first picture on the, let's see, where are we going to be sitting? It should be on the left side. And it says PA 60.
We have new seats.
Oh, we have new seats.
You're sitting in the same spot, basically, though. You've got, like, Janelle at your table.
But anyway, what I was saying is, this first picture on the left is PA 60, and it kind of explains one of the battles and what happened, and it is marked. It is marked in the place that it happened. This one says Stonewall Jackson reached this point in the afternoon of June 27th, 1862, after a circuit of Gaines Mill, when he learned that A.P. Hill and Longstreet to the west were hard-pressed, he moved south to join in the attack. So this sign is just a marker of where he was and stuff. And then this picture, we have the top left picture, and that is just of the soldiers themselves. I'm not exactly sure what side it is. I might have to look up on that, but I will figure it out, hopefully. So this picture, bottom left side, kind of middle actually, is kind of explaining where they went and how they like attacked and stuff. And if you see a lot, this is the Battle of Gaines Mill, which is the one which has the picture of to the left. This is the battle specifically of Gaines Mill and how they attacked and where they were barricaded and all this other stuff. And then this picture, the biggest picture on the right, is just another one of those, only throughout the whole battle. And it's kind of explaining, because this one right here, if you see Longstreet, which I will point out, if you see Longstreet, is the same one as Gaines Mill. And then you have a bunch of other ones. So, yeah. Yeah.
I have to move the things over.
I don't care. I'm not really explaining this because...
You're tired. It's almost 9 o'clock at night.
I suck at explaining everything. So, yeah, that's kind of an explanation of the pictures. Moving on.
For 22 minutes.
Dang, I feel bad. They're going to have to sit here listen to us for 22 minutes plus.
Yeah.
Okay, do we have anything else to do? I think we did it all.
I'll check.
We just have to put sources and stuff in.
I'm going to double check that thing.
Okay, you can double check. But, my class, this is over. You're going to stop it right here.
Okay, Mr. Sarby.
You stop it. X out now.
Pause.
Okay, so
to the rest of you,
all my podcast, all our podcast followers,
our podcast,
both of our podcast followers, so this is to you. We're gonna go in a little bit deeper. We're gonna go in a little bit of like stories and stuff instead of history,
the significance of battle. We have the eyewitness account.
Yeah, we're gonna have a little bit
significantness
more
of it, so we're done.
Oh yeah, I put it in there.
We're all finished.
But yeah, so we're gonna get some more into it, but we're gonna record this part later, so if we're a little bit different, it's because we're recording it later, because it is late at night, and I am tired, and I have school in the morning.
Well, actually, we can do a part two.
Oh yeah, we'll just do a part two. This is for the history class. But, sorry, you are still on this. I'm going to...
Kick another Gatorade bottle.
No. What I'm gonna do, I'm gonna flick your nose and I'm gonna pull you by your ear out of the classroom and explain to you what you did wrong, or I can kick another Gatorade bottle at your head. Okay, bye!